Perfect. Nice. Cool. So, the recording's running, the beamer's working. Perfect. Now, back to business. Okay, so where did we leave? Okay, so the reason why this is probably going to take place in English, right? The history of that module is quite simple. There has been or still is a module called social computing, which is a module targeted for the late bachelor semesters or the early master's semesters. And that's why lots of international students typically attend that, because it's an English lecture, okay? And since the topics are quite parallel to the social gaming module, this is the exact same lecture going under two different module numbers, okay? And that's why we'd have to take the least common denominator, which in this case is English, obviously, because I assume that most of the games engineering students, hands up, who's from the games engineering course of study? Hi, welcome. Most of you will get along with English, okay? Well, it is a compromise, okay? Since formally, you know, this is a compulsory course that you have to take, and normally these courses should be offered in German language, right? Now, I would ask you for your kind permission to do it like we do it, okay? Because the alternative would be to, well, talk about the same things twice, okay? And I discussed this with your semester sprechers, so I hope that this is okay for you. Now, in terms of the learning effects and the efforts, what's your benefit of having this in English? Well, you know, there is this usual, difficulty in computer science lectures that have to translate all the concepts in one or the other way into German language, right? So you can talk about a computer, you can talk about a Rechner, you can talk about whatever, social networks, soziale Netzwerke, right? And while this is certainly possible, there is often a slight drift in meaning, okay? So for example, when we talk about social networks, okay, in the English-speaking world, most people associate social networking platforms like Facebook with this, okay? While in the German-speaking community, there's a, quite large tradition in terms of mathematical sociology, which means that a lot of German people might understand the mathematical representation, namely a graph, okay? So in order to avoid that, I'm an advocate of using the English terms in my German talks as well. Now, this also is source of a confusion, because then some Denglish mixture results, okay? So we're in the lucky position to avoid all of that, because we can stick to the English concepts, work with the English concepts, and, memorize the English concepts. Second advantage for you is that, naturally, the papers and the textbooks and everything is in English, yeah? You know that this is a reality throughout all of computer science, so I strongly encourage you to, use the English textbooks, because, that's something you will be used to when you, develop games on an international scale or when you try to work in a scientific environment, okay? So these are the pros of that. And the necessity arises due to the fact that we have so many international students listening to that course. Okay, good. As for my person, I told you my name, and I will get to the other tutors and persons as well. So I'm a at Professor Schlichter's chair, and I'm giving this lecture for you. So this is the contents of today's lecture, and one thing that I might well, mention in advance is that I will record everything that we do, okay? The lab course stuff, the lab course introductions, all the lectures, every word that I'm speaking is recorded. That's why I'm wearing these stupid two microphones, because wearing one microphone just didn't work out, because it just didn't work out. Okay, so I hope that I'll be able to cope with this nice technological hurdle for the next ones, and then maybe the quality is also better. I'm using TTT. So who's not familiar with TTT? Hands up. Okay, so TTT is a system of TUM, which is used for recording lectures, and there is a dedicated TTT server. TTT stands for Teleteaching Tool, right? And that's just a screen capture and my voice. And there's also a PDF format generated, which is not necessary for us because I will be giving you all the materials, means that I will be giving you all the slides and stuff on the web, okay? So this is just the screencast. And there's a dedicated server, the URL of which I will, if it's not in the slides, I will put it there before I put them online, right? So that's the source where you can see, stream, download all the lectures. So it's not strictly necessary that you show up here if you find that organizationally difficult in some sense, or whether you can, or if you can't bear my shirts or something, right? So you're absolutely free to do it as you wish, okay? And in terms of the learning culture in this lecture, it is your what I will do. I will provide you with a background text, one background text for each lecture, okay? So there is no script. What you have is the slides and a background reading text. So if you're more like an audio-visual type of learner that profits from me explaining things or you hearing what I'm saying, okay, then you're cordially welcome to the lectures. Other thing is, if you cannot show up or don't want to show up, you can use the recordings in a cinematic way, like popcorn or something. If you can bear to eat popcorn with my stuff, I wouldn't, okay? So the obvious benefits are that you can interrupt, try to look up things, and then start replaying, okay? So that's up to your learning culture, and there is no preferred way from my side, okay? So I'm only an enforcer. No, not an enforcer. I'm an enabler, okay? So I'm a service person that, kind of tries to mediate your learning process in some way. It's not about me having to go through N chapters or something. It's just you having to learn the right stuff, and how you do it, whether you read the text or whether you listen to me or whether you use a completely different text, is completely up to you. I will support any reasonable way of learning, and if you have an issue with that in terms of, could you please give me an alternative recommendation for a textbook or something, please tell me so, okay? So the materials will be online and you can pretty much choose what you want to do, okay? In terms of the way this lecture will be conducted, today we're a lot of people, right? Because you probably want to see how this is all working here, and as experience tells us, it's not going to be that many over the course of the semester. However, we will still be having around, I'd assume, like 80 or so, or 50. I don't know. It depends on how you like it. But what is very important is that we will keep an atmosphere where everybody can listen. So that means that excessive talking or any other loud activity will just be an obstacle for those that want to listen. And I'm pretty easily distracted, okay? So I would urge you, and that's not because of discipline or something. Who cares about discipline? I mean, it's just about being efficient, okay? And I would urge you, if you would like to talk or something, please do it not here in the lecture hall. It's kind of tempting to have something going on your laptop while you're listening to course, blah, 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 blah. But that's not efficient, right? So decide what you want. That's what I would urge you to. Okay, cool. So so these are the contents, and well, let's get started. So that's me, and that's Niklas, who is the other person supervising this course. Especially, he's responsible for parts of the lab course. So he's a PhD student at our chair, and he's concerned with collaborative music composition. Right, that's quite an interesting field. Also, more or less interesting for you as games engineering students, but also for the others. So persons that want to do projects with him, please go ahead. Me, myself, I'm working in the field of social computing, and what I do encompasses things like investigating social situations. So who's with whom and what is the emotional value of a social interaction, what is the interaction geometry, how close do people stand, what about the statistics of their body angles, what can we deduce about this, gender differences, nationality differences, all these things. That's one project I'm currently in with a PhD student. Then we're concerned with how social influence on the web goes about, right? So you have a social network. There's persons posting stuff, and there's other persons reading that stuff, and people take that up via reposting or integrating it into their personal information spaces. So over time, like a spread of a disease, we will have influences on networks, right? And these influences are kind of measurable, and we can model them. And we do this with the help of machine learning techniques in the field of topic models, right? And another project that we had was, or still have, is about interruptibility management. So when is a phone supposed to ring and when is it not supposed to ring, using sensors that are integrated in the mobile device, okay? And there is two more projects. One is concerned with social search, right? Because there is interesting potentials for serendipity in the social network. And the other one is concerned with privacy in social networking, which is also a hot topic for everybody, who, and nobody's aware of this topic being hot, right? At least not until something, well, embarrassing happens. Okay, so that's just the course background of the people that are in that course. Now, there's also student tutors, especially for the Games Engineering Lab course. Daniel Gürlen, Janine Jobst, Tobias Gurdan, Markus Wesemann, and there was a fifth person supposed to be also taking part, which didn't happen. Okay, good. So we're four tutors for the lab course. And that's this comparatively small number is due to reductions in the teaching budget on behalf of the faculty, right? Last year I had more tutors. This year we would have to get along with these. Now, general organizational aspects of this module. Now, actually, you know, these are two modules. So I would first speak for the games engineering students. So for the games engineering students, it's a 10 ECTS credits combined module consisting of 3 hours of lecture and formally 3 hours of lab course per week. So these are not, well, time hours, but equivalent hours, so to speak. So the actual lecture is worth 4 credits, which are the exact 4 credits that the international students or the other ones attending for social computing would also get just from the lecture and writing the exam. So cursor, please show up. Cursor won't show up. Okay. Cursor. Oh, there it is. Good. Gonna fix this. Yep. Nice. Good. And the 6 credits are for the lab course. Okay. So that corresponds to, with the official conversion formula, to roughly 18 hours of workload per week for the games engineering students, if I'm not completely mistaken, which means that 11 hours for the lab course and 7 hours per week for the lecture contents, I should say, since the actual lecture is just one way of concerning yourself with the contents. So we'd have roughly 14 weeks in the semester, so the lab course is only scheduled for 12 of them that you have, so you might have some time to prepare your exams. So currently we're expecting about 150 students in the social gaming module solely, and in the lab course we'll be having groups of 6, okay? So 150 students corresponds to roughly 25 groups of 6 students working together. And in the lab course, we'd have 4 tasks, right? 4 assignments. First one is scheduled for 2 weeks, second one for 4 weeks, and the last 2 assignments are scheduled for 3 weeks each, right? Which adds up to 12, and that's the duration of the lab course, okay? The module social gaming, as I said, is completely identical to the lecture in social computing. So I think that games, which will be kind of a part of the lecture naturally, is also interesting for the social computing audience as well, right? So we'll try to find a compromise, and I'll give you the story, the rough story of the lecture in a few slides from now, okay? As for the lab course, unfortunately, for reasons of resources, this lab course is only open to the students from games engineering, right? Because otherwise, if we'd open it up for general computer science students and other interested persons, it'll just blow out, because 150 for a lab course is already quite many. So we kind of have to restrict this to games engineering students. Lectures naturally open to anybody that wants to attend, and anybody can write the written exam. Good. So anything will be recorded, and this should read, it's not made available via Piazza, which I'm going to explain in a second, but via TTT. Good. Now, speaking of Piazza, naturally, you would want to download the materials, and you would want to discuss things on a discussion board, which will be the main interaction paradigm for supporting you in the lab course. So we need an e-learning platform, and discussing this with students, with the semester sprechers and the semester sprechers from last year, we decided that Moodle is not so nice, so we would use Piazza again, which is an open source platform on the web, which is just very plain. So you can download resources. There will be a channel for announcements, which would be distributed via email if the instructors deem it fit. And it mainly consists of a discussion board and a section to download. There is official lecture and lab course websites on our web server, like the chair of Professor Schlichter, but those will just mainly point to the Piazza website. And on the Piazza website, I will publish all the texts as PDFs, which is possible under current copyright as far as I've researched, because I would only publish parts of the books that I take out, that I take things out of, right? So you would be able to find most of the things that are with respect to copyright okay on that server, okay? Good. So what are the contents of the lecture, okay? So since we're having the same module number for both, so for social gaming as well as for social computing, we would have to make some sort of compromise. Now, if you ask yourself, what is a social game? Okay, well, you can come up with a lot of definitions for that, and we'll try to do so in the coming lectures. However, this is a more or less vaguely defined concept, because naturally in very many games you have some sort of social interaction. So for the time being, we can generate a working definition stating a social game is a game which heavily makes use of social interaction in one way or the other. Okay. Now, then we're back to the definition of what is a game. Okay. And I've heard via the channels from the students that in very many of the lectures that you as games engineering students had, a lot of the professors talked about what is game, what is play. So I don't need to go into that very deeply. Now, a game is certainly often, in very many cases, or in almost all cases, supposed to be entertaining, right? And on the other side, what is social media? Okay. Now, you might say, good, social media is something completely different. Well, writing a blog or, chatting in an instant messenger like WhatsApp, I don't know, people are not using it anymore, but let's assume you were. So this is more about communication, right? But in essence, there are very many commonalities. So it's social media is in very many cases in its natural form also about non-serious issues. So it's about your spare time, your personality, and less so about your professional work environment. Now, naturally, there's social media being used in work environments like IBM's BlueSphere and stuff like that. And there's also games that are used in professional environments, like serious games or games with a purpose. So what we will discuss is that the borderlines between those two concepts are really soft and they're really floating into one another. So there is no real sharp boundary between those things. First. Second, lots of the techniques that we'll be talking about, like social networks, analysis of social networks, sensors, social signal processing, and stuff like that, are very valuable ingredients for games as well, right? So the story of the lecture will be, we'll treat these things on more or less equal footings in very many cases. So these are the contents. So I'll be talking about foundations of social computing, social media, Web 2, and social networking in particular. We'll be talking about models of social context. So what is a social context? Short-term, long-term, social relations, social situations, interaction, stuff like that. Naturally, we'll be talking about social games and leisure time-related apps on the web. We will then discuss the basics of sociometry, namely the analysis of social networks. What is centrality? What are groups, right? We would then, switch from this discrete view, which is typically a graph-oriented view. So the math behind it is graph theory. We will then switch to a more data mining, machine learning-oriented point of view. In terms of profile mining, so what can you learn about players, persons on the web, with respect to machine learning techniques like clustering, for example, in order to find groups, right? So you can find groups in graphs with the help of discrete maths, or you can find groups in profiles and other data with the help of statistics and machine learning. We might, I don't know if we'll get to this, talk about social network visualization. Yeah, so if you have a player network, how are you going to visualize it? Okay. Then there'll be several lectures on properties of real-world networks, right? So there's phenomena like 6 degrees of separation. There's phenomena like high clustering coefficients in social networks, right? So why do you know everybody via 6 edges? Is that a given thing? Is that easy to achieve? Is it typical for social networks only, or can we find this in nervous networks of your arm as well, right? And there is lots of properties like assortativity and other interesting things about networks that can be used, for example, if you're interested in disease spreading and modeling how things spread on networks. And that's interesting for, let's say, viral marketing. Or it's interesting if you want to start some campaign of a new feature in a game, right? And then we'll be talking about, what does space and time have to, or what does space and time imply for social relations and social contexts? Is it more likely to be a friend of somebody that lives next to you or somebody in a foreign continent? And how much more likely is it that you'll be friend to somebody that lives in your neighborhood? Okay. And space and time can be also virtual, right? Can be space and time in the virtual world. And with respect to other metrics, like, how probable is it to be a friend of somebody that's near to you in your cultural space or you're in your space of profession? Okay. So this will also have to do with navigating in these networks. Then we were talking about social signal processing. So naturally, you can record expressions of the face or expressions in a vocal behavior with the help of sensors, cameras, microphones and stuff. You can also record the social interaction geometry, how somebody behaves when talking to other persons. And you can deduce interesting stuff concerning the social signals that are connected with these measurements, okay? For example, if my voice is high and compressed, this might be an indication of me being kind of anxious or something, but it might also be a social signal that I want to transfer to you. For example, to insist that you'll be quieter or something, right? And the end of the lecture, we'll be talking about something that I think is also interesting for both audiences to know, and that's the basics of game theory, right? So who has heard of game theory? Hands up. Okay, good. Good. So that's quite a few persons. So game theory is the most formalized way of describing interactions of agents and persons, okay? And it's certainly also relevant when you want to design some formal, aspects of interaction. And we'll get to applications of that. Okay, so that's the lecture. And so the learning targets for the lecture is, naturally, I want you to gain some knowledge about the content in the lecture, but what I want you to be able to is to read papers in that field of social computing, because those papers will be making references to things like assortativity and clustering coefficient and all these things that otherwise you wouldn't know what these persons are talking about. And why is that? For the games engineering students, it's essential that you know this, from my point of view, essential that you know the field of social computing to be able to creatively transfer ideas that are evolved in that community to designs of games, right? Naturally, we want to produce a broad view on this term social games and on that fuzzy boundary to other leisure time web-oriented web to social media applications. Now, as for the lecture's exam, there, as you might have noticed, the exam schema for the games engineering students changed compared to last year, okay? Now, in this year, for the games engineering students, the exam is two-part. So the first part is the normal written exam, which everybody has to take, and the second one is the exam that is defined by handing in the assignments for the lab course, right? So you have the four assignments and each group has to hand in some solution, right? So that's that. It's not technically an exam, but formally it is, okay? Now, for the lecture part only, we would have a written exam that counts for 40% of the final mark for the games engineering students and 100% for the social computing students. Okay, so the social computing students would just have to take the exam. The others would have to hand in the four assignments for the four tasks of the lab course, which would then the total mark would count 60%. Okay, for the games people only. Okay. Good. So the written exam is the same. However, there have been concerns on behalf of the students last year that argued along the lines of, well, we're only fourth semester bachelor's games engineers, and in the other module there are lots of master's students. Okay, so will that kind of pull our marks down, and wouldn't the other ones excel, and we would look kind of, well, things like that. So what I'm going to do this year is I would impose a different grading schema for both audiences. So the lecture, the exam is the same, but the grading will be not. Okay? Maybe if you're both equally, if your performance is equally good, well, I might use the same grading schema. But so don't worry, you'll not be thrown in the same pot by force, okay? If it turns out that the games engineering students kind of have a different performance, I would respect that with a different grading schema. Now, as for the exam, it'll be a written exam of 90 minutes and it'll be a closed book exam. Yeah, so no materials allowed. And the topics are from the lecture only. We'll be having a repeat exam in October, right? As for all the required courses, we would have one. And the general idea of the exam is as follows. So there'll be 25 questions, okay? And each of them will be weighted completely equally. So there's 10 points for each question, meaning 250 total, okay? Now, you might say, oh my God, 25 questions. What kind of questions? Okay. Now, for each topic, for each slide set that I will provide you, I would give you around 20 to 30 questions at the end of the slide set that you can take as a measure of how well you understood the concepts by going through them and trying to answer them. Okay. And I will take 40% of the exam's questions out of that pool of questions. So you know 40% of the exam's questions in advance. Yeah? And they'll be, these really will be the same questions. I might change some numbers, okay, in some cases. But in essence, it'll be the same questions. So if you just go through all the questions on the slides and answer them properly, and you forget about anything else, you'll be able to pass the exam by just that, okay? And, well, I know that you're free to work together. If you put up a block with the answers, okay. This is not how I intended to be, but I would surely not interfere with that, okay? Because the goal is not to learn these things just, in the sense of auswendig lernen, which is not reasonable, but you can do it, obviously. But the goal is to kind of concern yourself with the topics, right? And the exact modalities will be published on an exam fact sheet that I will put on Piazza when the time of the exam is approaching, okay? As for the lab course, okay, which might be kind of more interesting in terms of organization. So, we'll be concerning ourselves in these four assignments with the following topics. So the first topic will be a design-oriented topic, so no implementations there. And it's about designing a location-based mobile social game. Okay, we'll be using a technique from Buxton and Greenberg, which is published in his book Sketching User Experiences, and the book is available as an ebook, full text, right? And on the respective assignment introduction sheet, I will I make detailed suggestions of how you would be supposed to work yourself into those topics. Okay. So that's the first task. The second task is about implementing the game, and we'll be using Java and, Java throughout the whole implementation. And for the mobile part, we'll be using Android. Okay. And what we have in contrast to last year is a very, very simple reference implementation that we made. Okay. So most of the aspects that you might be, well, wondering, how on earth am I supposed to learn Android? Nobody can learn Android in 14 days, but you will be provided with this implementation to be able to do, analogous reasoning, right? So we'll be having some UI elements like a text box or something. And if you want to introduce some slider or some other UI element, just use the same technique, the same way of going about things. Just look up what, in contrast, what other class do I have to use? Okay. We'll be providing you with a web server that's extremely easy to handle, with a play framework, and we'll be providing you with a spatial extension to MongoDB, which we'll be using, that can handle all the spatial related stuff. So who's in the vicinity, who's around, who's in a polygon with me, all these things. And we'll be giving you the assignment specification for the second task at the end of this week. So those of you that already want to start with the implementation of the second task earlier than scheduled can do so, okay? But the first task is just about designing the game. The remaining two tasks are about sociometry. Yeah, so we'll be having a case from massive multiplayer online social games where you will be supposed to do gold farmer detection. Okay, so you know that there's the phenomenon of gold farming, and you can use sociometric techniques to identify those people. Second subtask is about viral marketing models. So how is a marketing kind of intervention spreading on a web, on a social network, right? Last one is about social signal processing, which is, quite reduced for the 3 weeks that you have for that. So first part is about face recognition. We'll be doing this with a technique that's called eigenfaces, which essentially is PCA, okay, principal component analysis. And the second task is about a data set from our research where you will be dealing with interaction geometries, like distances and shoulder angles and stuff. Okay. So that's the contents. What we want you to learn in the lab course is further develop your programming skills. Yeah. Further develop your social project management skills in your small groups of six. And last but not least, apply the concepts of social computing for social games. Okay, so that's the lab course only. Now, in contrast to last year, where we diced out the groups for each task anew, this time, to keep things simple, you will be expected to form groups of six, and you can apply for that in TUM Online, or register, I should say, And these groups will be stable throughout the whole lab course. Okay? And the application or the registration period. Now, Intum Online, you might have recognized that those of you that already tried to register were thrown out again, because we need to just kind of, let you register in those groups of six, right? And there are 30 group slots on Intum Online, which will allow you to build enough new groups, right? And so just try to register properly. And the registration period will be starting from tomorrow and will end on April 11th. So you're supposed to do it quicker than that, okay? And teams that are not complete by April 11th will be pooled together by us, okay? So April 11, midnight, is your deadline for forming groups on your own. If there should be fragments of two or three or whatever, I will personally pool them together at random. Yeah, so it's your interest to form groups with people that you know, that you like, and that you'd like to work with, okay? One thing, since we're having an assignment having something to do with Android, I would urge you to have at least one person with an Android smartphone in your group. It's not necessary, okay? Yeah. If you don't have a person with an Android smartphone in your group, fine, you can use simulators throughout the whole implementation, right? But it's maybe a bit more elegant if you can use it or simulate it on the actual device, right? So see after that we'd have in each group someone with a more or less recent Android phone, okay? If there should be any groups that do not have somebody with a modern Android phone, we have 10 of them at hand that could be, that you can borrow, okay? But this is just an emergency fallback solution, okay? Now, the submissions for the assignments are, what you should submit is specified on the respective assignment sheets in detail, right? So you're always free to extend that if you want, but you should never be in doubt what to hand in, okay? And these assignments would then have to be sent via email to your tutor. Now, what is your tutor? Since we have five persons tutoring the lab course, each group or each tutor has about five groups that he or she is responsible for. So you as a group have exactly one tutor that you would hand in your solutions to. Good. And you can arrange for that however you want. The default way is sending an email to this tutor before the deadline. Okay, so there's a deadline for each assignment. You're free to send in your stuff via email. Good. Now, your tutor is also the person that you can, in principle, direct questions to. However, this is not the style we want the tutoring to actually take place. So the style that we intend is via the discussion board, okay? So if you have a question, please post it on the discussion board. There'll be a tutor responsible for the discussion board for each day, right? So each day, one of the tutors is on duty, and he or she is responsible for answering all the questions that arise in that 24 hours, okay? So it's not that if someone takes over, all the questions are forgotten, right? And the tutors are specified 2 hours a day where they're on duty, where they will try to guarantee you very short answering times, right? So this is more like an online real tutoring session, okay? 2 hours where they're available with shorter answering times. Why did we do that? So two reasons. First one, otherwise we couldn't handle 150 students. Second reason, you are supposed to profit from the help of other groups, right? In contrast, and I will have to put an emphasis on that, in contrast to PGDP, yeah, so lab course of the first semester, there'll be no issues of plagiarism in our lab course, right? So you're free to use, in principle, you're free to use code that you find on the web. You're free to use code from other groups, and you're especially free to use advice from other groups, okay? Now you might say, wait a minute, so what about our own input? Okay, well, you are free optionally to do that, but I will show you how we grade the stuff, and there'll be grades with respect to creativity, for example. And if we see, and you're supposed to document that, if we see that you use code from the web, it's fine. But if you only use code from the web, there's no creativity. So this will be a 5.0 for the key marks, right? So you cannot profit from stealing, however, but there is no issues of plagiarism. So we can work together. And we see on the web, on this discussion board, who gave the first posting, right? So we'll be able to award the respective input properly, okay? So there'll be a first group devising something, and once they tell the others, it's fine, okay? But please, just restrict that to technical issues. Yeah, so the conceptual stuff and your ideas and your creative solutions are not something that is well suited to be put on there. Not for secrecy, but just because it's of no use for the others. If you have an idea, what should I do with that idea? Make some variant of it or just copy it? No use, because that's not creative, right? So the technical stuff, discuss it on the board. Game-related stuff, don't, okay? Good. So you know that for legal reasons, we are supposed to track everybody's contribution individually, right? So group marks, technically speaking, are not allowed, right? So each student must be given a separate mark that reflects her or his contributions, okay? Now, this is a contradiction to working in groups, right? Because in groups, you're somehow bound to the others, in a sense. If you're a brilliant programmer and you have five persons that cannot press a button on a computer, in essence, you have a problem, okay? And this is just logically inherent to the concepts, to the concept of working in groups, okay? What is the countermeasure, okay? Now, the countermeasure is, at first glance, appears to be a bit Stasi-like, okay? Which has its pros and cons, okay? So I expect everybody to submit, the following Excel form that I'm going to show you in detail. And on that Excel form, you are supposed to rate the quality and quantity of each other team member's contributions with marks, okay, including yourself. Now, is it Stasi? What happens? Okay, so last year, it worked quite well, okay? Naturally, if you're in a friendly group environment, you can coordinate on that, right? So you can say everybody kind of contributed roughly the same. Why not? If an issue should be in the group, like someone not taking part at all, right? So a free rider, what a person. And then the others are free to give them or her bad marks. Okay, so that's just a channel where you can express your issues. However, please, it's more like a formal justification for us. Okay, so this is part of the reporting that you're supposed to do that allows us to give individual marks. Okay. Second element, please, for each thing that you submit, yeah, each team member has to state his or her contribution to that. Let's assume you're doing a Java class that deals with the UI of the mobile social game. And only four of them have done that, while the others have heavily concerned themselves with the server programming. Okay? Why not? Just make a listing of who contributed to what degree to what. Okay? If there's some blah blah punk Java and there was only one member, this member should state that he or she has written 100% and the others should state that they have contributed nothing to that. Okay? Once again, it's more a justification for us. Okay? Good. So we're not kind of doing weird Stasi statistics on that. If the assignment submission is super, okay, in almost all the cases, everybody should get a super mark. Yeah. So we're not interested to be bad cops. Yeah. It's just we need to do that for legal reasons. Okay. And there's an Excel sheet. I don't know if you can read that. So there is the marks for quality, contribution quality and contribution quantity for all the persons in your group, including yourself. In this case, this red one is rates his quality as mark 2.0, right? And then you're supposed to give a long list where you state your share of contribution to whatever, okay? So please provide a reasonable degree of granularity, right? It's not necessary that you state the following lines of code are from me, blah, 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 yeah? Just be reasonable. If you say these two classes are mostly written by blah, 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 state it as such, okay? Good. So that's mandatory. Each one has to hand in something like that, okay? Once again, it's not about bad copying. It's not about Stasi. It's just a legal justification. Now, the mark, I don't know what is there. Okay, so the mark for each individual group member will be made by a group mark and some, well, ups or downs with respect to the things that are written on these sheets, okay? Okay, now that's something I already told you. The tutoring is via discussion board only. That's something I already told. Second thing is I was asked to provide you with a room, okay? So our seminar room is available in the evening so that you can come there and work together as a group or as several groups, okay? So there'll be no actual tutoring sessions with somebody really present, but the room is open every day of the week and reserved for you, and you can go in there and try to work on your assignments if you want to. If you want to make a personal appointment with your tutor, feel free to do so if the tutor is willing and able to give you a personal appointment, fine, okay? So each assignment has a 90-minute introduction, and these four 90-minute introductions will be taking part on the Wednesday slot. So tomorrow there'll be an introduction for the first assignment, okay? And as you might have already read, do not email me, yeah? Because that's not the way the interaction is supposed to be taking place. First thing, post something on the discussion board. Second level of escalation, mail your tutor. And if the world breaks down and only in case the world breaks down, write me an email, okay? But otherwise, do not do that, okay? Good. Okay, so the grading schema for the lab course, so we'll be giving a group mark for each of the four assignments, and then each one might get an upgrade or downgrade with respect to his or her contributions if it should be really necessary. Yeah. So the goal is you work together as a group, so you should, in essence, get the same mark. If serious arguments speak in favor of an upgrade or a downgrade, we'll do so. Okay. So the final mark will just be computed with that formula. So the first task just counts 2, while the second counts 4 with respect to the weeks that you're supposed to work at that. Okay. And we'll be announcing the marks, each of the individual marks and the overall mark, which is just the average of computed with that formula, I will announce them together with the results of the written exam if TUM Online permits me to do so. Yeah. Last year I tried to publish it in the remarks slot, but it just didn't take it. Whatever. I mean, you know, TUM Online is made by Satan in essence. Yeah. So I don't know how I will announce it, but I'll try to. You can discuss your marks with us during the exam review in July. Yeah, so there'll be an exam review for the written exam. And if you say, well, why did I get only a 2.0 for the second task? I contributed, what's on your mind, blah, blah, blah. Feel free to do so. We're open for that. You have the right to exactly know why we gave you a mark for what. Yes, we're required to justify every decision. Yeah, good. So that's that. Now there are 4 criteria, right, that we judge the assignments with. Okay, so first one is creativity. So how original is your solution in terms of technological inventions, game design, interaction, use of social context, use of individual context, whatever. All your ingenuity goes in there, okay? Second one is correctness. If you hand in something that doesn't even compile or doesn't even execute, well, this will be not so good. Now, third one is completeness. Did you submit all the subtasks that you were supposed to submit? And the last one is extension, yeah? So how many work did you put in there? Did you just say, oh, okay, or did you just, well, make it a real project? So it's not required to put hundreds of hours in there, but if you think these things are interesting and you want to do it, you can naturally get a very good mark, but it's not necessary. So you can get a 1.0 if you have decent extension already, right? Within the limits of your working time. And so that's what makes clear why you can copy certain things from other groups. Because if you'd copy anything, then yeah, what will be the marks? Creativity is 5.0, so you didn't do anything original. Okay, correctness, we would have to see, yeah. Completeness, so you didn't kind of hand in anything on your own. And the extension of your work is also 5.0 because you didn't do anything, right? So this will be reflected in the marks. Now, the interesting thing is, what if I fail a single assignment? Yeah, let's assume for assignment 3, you'll get a 4.3. Is that a problem? No, it's not a problem as long as your overall mark is better than or equal to 4.0. Yeah. So you can, in theory, you can fail with one of the tasks if the rest is excellent. Okay. Yeah. So what counts is the final mark. Okay. Good. So that's that. Okay. And if you should be in time trouble, and say, oh, well, for that task, I'm only able to hand in like 2/3 or something. fine. Okay, if these two-thirds are cool, you'll get a very good mark here, probably a very good mark here, less so here, and less so here, but still reasonable for the whole assignment, right? So that's, it's not Stasi with respect to submitting stuff, okay? You might ask yourself, cool. What about if I pass the lab course and I fail the exam? Okay. Answer, you can take the repeat exam in October and your lab course passing would still count for that. Okay. So if you manage to pass the repeat exam, everything is fine. Your mark will be the same as for one that passes the original exam. So in essence, what does that mean? It means you're free to choose the exam. Yeah, you can take the one in July as well as the one in October. The only disadvantage of choosing the one in October is that if you fail that, your lab course results are also void for legal reasons, right? Because that's a module exam and you cannot transfer these Übungsleistungen across several semesters. We're in the process of changing that so that the lab course is a separate module. And once this is established for next year's students, you can pass the lab course and just keep it, right? And you would have, these are separate exams for separate modules. Now it's one module, so you can transfer your successful lab course only one iteration, okay? Now the more interesting case, yeah? What about if I fail the lab course? Will there be a repeat exam for the lab course? Now, technically, you know, since this is a mandatory course, we are supposed to offer you a chance for an exam in winter term as well. So each term there must be an exam, right? What is the exam for the lab course? The exam for the lab course is handing in the assignments, right? But naturally, I don't have the resources to offer you a different lab course or even the same lab course next term again. So we're in a dilemma, right? And how is the dilemma solved? In the same way as for PGDP, right? So we'll be having a written exam about the lab course, which is kind of stupid. But this is, writing an exam about something practical is stupid, right? Having an exam is not that stupid because, to be honest, the exam won't be very easy, yeah? Why? Because we don't want to give incentives to you to say, well, lab course, I'm not interested in that. I would just learn for the lab course repeat exam and do everything there. I would not advise that, right? Because we naturally do not want to give you incentives for that. So in essence, the repeat exam for the lab course will be tough, I'd say, at best, right? Well, if your practical skills are excellent and you know anything about Android and programming and all the theory about disease spreading and social signal processing, fine, yeah? It must be possible, and it will be possible to pass this with a 1.0. If your skills are great, go ahead. But I would not advise you to, right? So just try the lab course. In groups of six, come on. If somebody would not pass a lab course in a group of six, I don't know, right? So do it now. Don't speculate on the exam. Good. So last 10 minutes. If you don't think that the assignments are interesting, you'll be having an alternative. And this alternative will be tasks or assignments offered by companies. Okay? So every February, I make a small conference with representatives from game companies who are willing to provide us with a topic for the lab course. And last year there was two companies and several other NGOs, I would call them, that offered tasks there. And there's two formats. You can replace the whole lab course, all the 12 weeks, and do just the lab course at a company, right? We'll be having one of those. And you can apply for that, and if you're accepted, then you can just do this instead of our assignments, right? And there'll be another one that is just for the last 6 weeks, so you can throw out our two assignments and do the assignments, the assignment given by that company. In that case, it's a very small company run by one person only, okay? Now, these tasks will be introduced tomorrow, yeah? You can apply for that immediately, and in order to make this application process very lean and efficient, you would just have to hand in, I'm getting to this, okay? Very short things, okay? And the benefits are that you have further contacts with game industry, solve real problems in real companies, and use the productive tools and approaches there. Okay, at least that's the intention. So if you happen to know companies, and if you are willing to come up with a suggestion on your own, you can contact me. But for this semester, we'll be having only two, because the companies are kind of slow in getting in this process. Yeah. So if you happen to have any contacts and think the idea is good, please mail me. Okay. Good. Well, these are the assignments. I already told you about this. First one is designing. Second one is implementation. Third one, social networks. Fourth one, social signal processing. Anything that I told you is on that slides, on these slides. Good. So what are the requirements? So find six group members for the company tasks, okay? Find six group members, provide six extremely short CVs, and provide your transcripts, and a max one-page statement why you want to do this and probably what are your ideas. Keep it simple, keep it straight, okay? And we'll be, you would be supposed to send in your applications as a PDF to me, and the subject should be application for industry tasks, so I don't miss anything. And here I provide you with a suitable mail to link. And if you want to apply to both industry tasks, feel free to do so, but hand in two separate identical or not identical applications. And that's the time plan. So tomorrow morning, we'll be introducing those. You'd have time until Sunday to apply. And immediately on Monday, we'll be selecting the groups and telling them about the acceptance. So starting from next week, Monday, everybody knows what he or she is supposed to do in the lab course, either doing our assignments or doing industry assignments, right? So that's that. Now, last 5 minutes, time plan and to-dos for you. So, schedule for the lecture Tuesdays this room from 12 to 2. Whether we start on time or whether we start a quarter past 12, we would have to figure out when we see who's having the slot right before us, okay, and what these people have as their exact schedule. So who's in favor of starting on time? Fingers up. Who's in favor of starting quarter past 12? Fingers up. So that's the minority. So our current, theory is that we start on time, okay? If the need should arise, we can change that, okay? Now, on Wednesdays, and I apologize for that, there was no other room available, we'll be starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. And believe me, I'm the person that has the greatest pain about that, because in the morning, I'm functioning like a stupid robot, okay? It's not my time of the day. My biorhythm is not available, practically. However, since 8 o'clock is such a, how should we call it, special time, I think the theory is that we start at 8:15, okay? 8:30, maybe, yes. But let's say for the moment that we start at 8:15, and then if we see that the slot after our slot is starting at 10:15, we can do it 8:30 as well. Yeah. So anything that gives us a few more minutes of sleep will be welcome. Okay. And I see it happening that nobody turns up because everything is recorded, but I'm fine with that, right? You have my solidarity, really, cordially. Now, these are the exact dates. So I already figured out the holidays and all the other things. So these are the Tuesday dates, and these are the Wednesday lecture dates. Yeah. So since we're having a 3-hour lecture only, the theory is that we take only every second Wednesday. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's the task introductions, which we would also have to do in that slot. Why? Weren't you able to get a lecture hall some other time? Yes, but last year, the company, the normal task assignment introductions were in the evening from 6 to 8. And people were totally annoyed by that in the feedback to the lecture and the lab course. One of them wrote, lecture at 6 p.m., seriously, and I would spare you with the rest of his comment. So since this was this was quite annoying for the other ones, we would do it in the Wednesday slot. Okay. So these are the assignments, time plans or schedules. So the assignment one will be introduced tomorrow here. And the solution deadline will be Friday, April 25th, midnight. Okay. And these are the solution deadlines and introduction dates for the other ones. Okay. So, that's that. Okay. And for the company tests, I already showed you application deadlines and stuff. So, what are your to-dos, right? So, let me put this at the end, right? So everybody, what are the to-dos? So please, starting from tomorrow at 4, start forming groups of 6 and register into online for the lab course. Please do so. Everybody do so. Yeah. Don't speculate on writing the repeat exam, please. And, deadline is April 11th, midnight, and then I will pool together the stuff. Optionally, apply for the industry tests until Sunday midnight. And last thing, starting sometime in June, register for the exam. That is also valid for the social computing audience, right? And basically, that's that. So do you have any questions? Let's just take 2 more minutes for the questions. Yes, there's a question here. So you're... Yes, so there was the question whether the social computing guys should come tomorrow morning, and the answer is no, you shouldn't. It's just for the lab course, just for the games engineering students. However, there will be Wednesday dates where we'll be having lecture. So for this week's, the social computing persons are done. The other ones are supposed to kind of show up tomorrow morning. Is there another question? Yes. Yeah, so the question was, is there something like a time associated with each group in TomOnline, like for the normal tutor groups in, like, say, theoretical computing? It's not. The times are irrelevant, right? I don't know to what stupid fictional date I set them, but there is no thing as a physical tutorial time. Yeah. Is there another question? If you have any and don't want to utter it in the audience, come down, discuss it with me. Otherwise, I wish you a nice day and see you tomorrow.